This is Steve Dale's Other World. My guest is a YouTube sensation. How do you like to be called that, Rick Nienge?
Yeah, YouTube sensation works. Thank you.
And what really attracted me to your channels is my interest, my personal interest in vintage television. And in particular, I love Lucy because I, like most of America, grew up with I Love Lucy. And even if you're not old enough, and I may not be, to have grown up to watch the originals, it didn't matter because Lucy was your babysitter. And even for today's generation, I believe that's the case. But as it happens, I knew Lucille Ball, and I've talked about this in podcasts before, and we've talked to people like Lucy's secretary, Wanda Clark, who I'm still in touch with in various podcasts. And I know, Rick, that you recently did a podcast for WGN Plus with our own Paul Lisnick.
I did. You were correct.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But you know what? This will be better. I apologize for anything Mr. Lisnick said. This will be better than having a conversation with that very old man who very much remembers not only those shows, but the people who gave those people their beginnings in show business, because Mr. Lisnick was there at the very beginning of show business. So you do some amazing things with your videos. And one thing you do is you do bloopers where you have several videos, several YouTube videos that are bloopers from I Love Lucy. And then you have some where Fred, as in Fred Mertz, his crazy entrances. And then you have others where Lucy's crazy disguises, of which she had many. And then you have several videos about the scenery and what goes on behind the scenes, things I never would have caught. So a door opens, and as characters, Ricky and Lucy, Ricky Ricardo and Lucy Ricardo, they walk into a room, and in the back, you point out, you could see Fred Mertz, or William Frawley, the actor, waiting to make his entrance, but he's caught for just a split second on camera. I mean, who catches this stuff? So you have amazing video after video after video. So I begin by asking you, what interested you in this in the first place?
Great question. And when people ask me that, I revert to Saturday morning cartoons because I was a big TV watcher back, you know, when I was young. And I Love Lucy was played on the schedule right after Saturday morning cartoons. And so I stayed around. I stuck around. I was like, what's this black and white show? And I started watching it, and I couldn't get enough of it all the way back to around 3 or 4 years old. So it's been an addiction ever since then.
What is it about that show that has made it an addiction?
You know, that's something that I think a lot of people ask themselves who are fans of the show, or maybe people have never seen it and watch it and then are hooked. And I always tell people that I think it's the magic of these four individuals. The fact that Ricky and Lucy and Desi and Lucy were husband and wife in real life. The fact that they just brought this magic on screen. And all the people in the crew were super hardworking. It was just so groundbreaking at the time, but as well as very simple. The plots are very simple. We can all relate to them. I Love Lucy is dubbed in so many languages, and people laugh in many different languages. There are people watching Japan and think it's hilarious because it's just something we can all relate to.
So Lucy used to say that she would get a kick that it's shown and be privileged that it was shown all over the world. But what she loved is that in the Hispanic countries, she is the one with the accent. And that is indeed how it worked out. And, you know, I Love Lucy began as reruns because Lucille Ball, and I don't know that you've mentioned this or not in any of your YouTube videos, but this is what she told me. She said, we had no idea that television was even going to, you know, television was at its infancy. It was clear that it was kind of establishing, but most people in America still didn't have a TV set when she first began, statistically, and no one knew what this was going to be, what television was going to be. And she had no inkling, none whatsoever, that the term rerun didn't even exist. And you did mention that Desi Arnaz did a brilliant, he was a great businessman. And one of the things he did is he purchased the ownership of the show, essentially, from CBS. Their initial deal was, okay, we don't get paid as much money, but the show is ours forever. But he didn't envision reruns. That would be going too far. As I say, the word didn't even exist. And the reason why they ended up filming it is because she wanted something to show her kids one day of what she did, what mom did with dad. That's the only reason why they did that. Otherwise, it would have been done similar to other television shows of the day, and we wouldn't be able to watch Lucy and Desi and Ethel and Fred the way we do today. It's only because she wanted something for her children.
And I find it amazing that it turned into something larger than that, an entire revolution of little kids now still watching the show. And I still know people in the crevices of the earth who said, wait, I haven't seen the show, and I'll put it on for them. They'll see one episode, and their mouth is left open. They're like, wow, I need more of this. It's like one hit, and they need more of the show. It's incredible.
So you become this, as I say, you do these videos of these bloopers. You're right. You mentioned in those videos how it was done in front of a live audience, and Lucy was always better in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
And you would talk to her about timing or why, and she really couldn't answer that. But she knew she was better, way better, in front of a live audience. And she wanted to be, Desi wanted her to be in front of a live audience because he knew how good she was. She could extend a laugh. She could play to that laugh and play to that audience like no one on television did before her. But because they did it that way, it was almost like dinner theater. It was like theater. It was theater in that it was live. And she hated to stop. And if a performer didn't know his or her lines, especially in I Love Lucy in those days as opposed to the Lucy Show and Here's Lucy that came later, where she was a bit more forgiving, but not much, that actor would never appear on a show again with her because she had no patience for that. And you had to know your mark and you had to know your lines, and people are human. So they occasionally, and you showed some of this, offer some examples of that maybe people would recognize, and we'll send people to your YouTube page before we're done, but give an example or two of lines that were flubbed, but you would never, ever know it unless you really pay. I don't even know how you caught that. I knew some of this. I don't know how you caught all that you have.
Well, there's one, if you remember when they went to Hollywood. So there's this whole section of the series where they go to Hollywood and Ricky's making this big picture. And Ricky is supposed to say, don't try to badger me, popular saying. And instead of badger, it comes out buyer, like, let's buyer something. And Lucy makes fun of it, and she kind of looks at him, and she says, buyer me? And then she looks at Fred and Ethel, and she says, buyer? And then you hear a couple of chuckles, but they just keep going. Lucy played along with it, but they kept going. And so there's a lot of these things as well that have to do with Desi and his accent, and then Lucy catching it, making fun of it, but they keep going.
And none of it. Yeah. You're right. And none of that was in the script. There was one where, for the first time, Lucy Ricardo is meeting her mother-in-law. I don't remember the actress who played her mother-in-law, who only spoke Spanish. I don't know in real life if she only spoke Spanish, but she only spoke Spanish in this one episode. She was in two episodes total, but in this one episode when they first meet. And Ricky, Desi Arnaz, translates back and forth and back and forth. And he's translating English to Spanish and English to Spanish. But then by mistake, this wasn't in the script, he does it in reverse and does it Spanish to English. And then he says, I've got my something crossed, my fingers crossed or something. Right. And what he meant to say at that point is I got my wires crossed.
Right.
And she corrects him on that, too, and says, what do you mean by that? And Lucy hardly made any errors. There was hardly any ad-libbing, but one exception that's been talked about before, and you did too, would be William Holden.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that? I'm talking about the nose.
Yeah, so the nose. So the nose is a big one because a lot of people kind of, I don't know, they think it was an accident and so forth, but what's really interesting is that they prepared a lot with that nose. And they put a wick inside so that, you know, they wanted to make sure that she was safe. And there was a lot of prosthetics and makeup involved. But Lucy was scared. She thought that she was going to get burned. She thought she was going to get hurt. And they had to practice it a lot off camera.
Now, we should probably explain here. So this is the episode with William Holden. She meets William Holden, I guess, at the Brown Derby in a way you don't want to meet a celebrity, but only Lucy could. Lucy Ricardo could. Ends up throwing... not really throwing a pie in his face, but walking by a waiter who had a salad. I don't know if it was a salad, right? And it ended up on his head. And then Ricky Ricardo was such a hero for bringing William Holden back home. But Lucy, oh my God, I don't want to be recognized, and puts on this fake nose. And that's the nose we're talking about. So go on from there.
Yeah, so what was really funny about it was that many people argue about, you know, whether it was an accident or not. And I don't know if I should spoil it. I think I should leave it for you guys to go and watch the video. But, you know, I go into the details of behind the scenes, how they worked it out and how they figured all these things out. But it's really interesting to see how much effort they put into the show and seeing all the mistakes that could happen and trying to prevent them as much as possible.
Now, how did you do your research for that? So I cheat. I was able to ask Lucille Ball. How did you do your research?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's probably the number one thing I get asked. People put it in the comments all the time, and I wish I had a simple answer for them. And I guess this goes back to my educational background. I was a high school teacher for many years, right when I got out of college, and also, when I was studying for my master's degree, they just instilled in me study, 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 research, research, research. And I never put one and two together and say, well, why don't I research these shows that I enjoy so much? And I started doing that. I started reading books, hearing interviews, and in their entirety. I think that's a lot of people tell me, well, Rick, I've read these books that you're referring to, but I've never noticed this. So that's why I read them in their entirety. I write notes. I connect dots. So a lot of these videos are compilations of other videos that I see, along with maybe a couple of magazine articles that I read or autobiographies like Bessie's book and so forth. And I just combine them to form a video so that people can conveniently just watch it and they don't have to put all the pieces together like I do.
You know, what's amazing to me, and I don't know the demographics. I don't know that you know the demographics of the people that watch your videos, but when you think about it, at this point in time, I Love Lucy appeared, what, in the 1950s? And yes, there were many series after that, and she was on TV, never to be off TV except for one year, through 1974. And even then, through the end of her life, we frequently saw her on television. But going back to the 1950s, we're going back 70 years just about, you know? And still, people care, but what's most interesting is that no matter what the demographics turn out to be, as I think about it, for the most part, people couldn't have been born. You know what I mean? I mean, this is like the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation, which Lucille Ball, by the way, would have been thrilled about. I mean, are you surprised that so many, because I've read some of the comments and people will say in the comments, well, I'm 18 years old and I'm 22 years old. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
It is. It is. I have a very diverse group of people. I do have, believe it or not, some individuals that they'll write to me. Of course, I have to take their word for it. That they comment, you know, Rick, I was there in my living room when this episode that you're covering aired for the first time, and I was, you know, a year or two old. And you know, I think they'll know because their parents told them. But the idea is, it's incredible the broad range. And then I'll have maybe an 18-year-old, who's obviously younger than myself, will be like, Rick, I love this show. I've seen every episode. And by the way, I'm from Brazil. And I'm like, what? Brazil?
Yeah.
I had someone the other day who wrote me, because recently I got in contact with the Mayer twins. You know, the Mayer twins played, they're one of the twins who played a little Ricky on the show. And Joe Mayer and I, we were talking, and we got in contact with this fan from France. And he called Joe Mayer and was like, Joe, you know, I've seen your show all the way from France. And every day we're just blown away by the response we get from people that still watch the show from, you know, the corners of the world.
So what was your favorite episode of all the episodes? Which is your favorite?
You know, of all the episodes, and people tell me all the different opinions of what their episodes are, and when I tell them mine, they usually have to look back into the, you know, the series log and say, which episode's that? But believe it or not, it's Home Movies.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that one?
Yeah, well, I know which one, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the one where sick and tired of watching all those home movies that other people take, and Lucy, for a variety of reasons, including to show a Hollywood agent, I believe, what she could do, splices what she and Ethel and Fred do in this mock Western that they do in their living room, and splice it together with what Ricky Ricardo did, which was a straight musical, and that is what they ended up seeing, right?
Yes, and it's hilarious because it's one of the few episodes, it's not, I believe, the only one, I could be corrected on that, that was not directly done in front of a live audience, and that's because all the splicing and editing they had to do in that movie, so they had to show it after the fact to the audience, and they had to put the, you know, the reaction in the episode. But I love that episode. I think it's hilarious. It kind of reminds me of what I do when I edit my videos. You know, when they don't come out right.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the dialogue, actually, so they do this kind of gunslinger routine, and they sang a song, and I'm trying to think of what the song is.
An old cowhand?
Yeah.
I saw it last night, so I'm cheating, kind of.
No, that's okay. I mean, but yeah. And so people may recognize it from that, but it's amazing how the dialogue, so years and years and years and years later, Lucille Ball does a special, and it was one of the last specials that she did. And she just refers to that. Vivian Vance was in the special last time they worked together. And she refers to that, and the live audience went so crazy just by that reference that they had to edit out a lot of the laughter. So which was the episode, I'll ask you a trivia question.
Okay.
Which was the episode that they had to edit out the most laughter? Do you know?
Is it that crazy? Yes, I do know. And I would think that is crazy that, you know, a lot of these shows, I've been to a couple live tapings, and the staff actually encouraged the audience to laugh and to do all these things. And in this, they had to cut it down because it was too long. And so this is all the way in season 6, the episode Lucy Does the Tango, but it's a little misleading because it's focused on the tango, but the main effect is that she had some eggs hidden inside her blouse or shirt, and Desi didn't know. They were dancing the tango, and then they're spinning around, and for the final move, Lucy crashes against Ricky, and all of the eggs just go everywhere, and I think the laugh was over a minute long, continuous.
So we talked about that once, Lucy and I, and she said something to the effect of I still feel that in my blouse as I'm telling you about it. She said, or something like that. And then she said how sad it is for her to sometimes watch sitcoms on TV today.
Huh.
And I said, I said, why? She said, I hear my mother. I said, what?
Wow.
She said, well, the sitcoms today, and I assume this is still true, though I don't know that, but it was true back when I talked to her, and this must have been, I don't know, the early 1980s. But she said she could hear laughs that she would recognize, including Desi's on occasion, but specifically her mother's. And at that point that I spoke to her, mother had passed away, her mother's laugh, and that's why she was so sad, that she could hear her mother's laugh on those sitcoms. So a lot of the laugh tracks, you've heard that term, right, that are used today are actually from the I Love Lucy shows.
So the reactions are so great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but imagine being Lucy and recognizing. So she said there were people in the crew she could recognize the laughs from, you know, because they had different microphones set up. So one was set up for the audience, but you could catch the crew laughing. I'm not sure it was explained to me at the time, but you could actually sort of a separate mic, the crew, where they were located. So you could hear the crew laughter almost separately on a separate track. And she could clearly hear and recognize people that had passed away that she knew. And that was kind of sad, you know, for her, particularly her mother, who was at every single taping. You did one, you know, if you ask people their favorite, it would probably be, I don't know, Chocolate Factory, Vitamin to Vegemin, or the wine, you know, where she danced, if you will, in a vat of wine. And you did specials, I saw, on the wine one that you talked about. Talk about what you learned a little bit.
Yeah, so on in terms in general or just on that episode?
On that episode, I think it was called Lucy Makes an Italian Movie or something.
Yes, yeah, so great. I'm glad that you bring that one up because that's one that a lot of people like. And so this is when they go to Europe. And the Ricardos and Mertzes head to Europe. And again, it has to do with Ricky and his work. But Lucy, of course, wants to get in the movies and the pictures, so she tries to practice grape stomping to make wine, you know, the old-fashioned way. And so she goes to a location where they still practice that. And now the interesting thing was the actress they used was really Italian, and she was an actual grape stomper. She would make wine like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem was she wasn't really well-versed in English. So when they had practiced it with her, you know, they kind of nailed it down. But when Lucy did it live in front of the cameras and the audience, she had slipped in, and Lucy was like, okay, you know, give it to me. Let it look like we're fighting. And that woman went gung-ho on Lucy. She put all her energy into it and was holding her head down, and Lucy was pretty much, she was drowning under you know, the grape juice and everything, and it was a little bit traumatic for her to go through that experience.
Yeah, so as I recall, the way Lucy told it to me is there were rehearsals for that. And she said in the rehearsals, they were very careful to try to say to her, they had a translator, to try to explain to her, first an arm would have to come up for the camera, and then a leg would have to come up, and then maybe her head would come up, all, you know, so she could face the camera. And the lady seemed to understand in the rehearsal, but the rehearsal, unlike a lot of the rehearsals that they did, in fact, nearly all of them, this wasn't a full-out rehearsal. So this was more of a blocking for the cameras. And the lady seemed to get it. So when they do it in front of the live audience, this lady was intent, you're right, on making sure she was like, I don't know what she was thinking. She was apparently wanting to drown. Lucy told me she thought that her obituary would read, she was drowned. She told me it felt like she was drowning in a vat of eyeballs.
Oh my gosh.
Those were her exact words. And she said that it was really, she couldn't catch her breath. And she was swallowing the stuff and choking. And they actually had to cut that scene down for television because it went on and on and on. And the director at first thought, you are a better actress than I thought. This is great.
Right.
Keep going. And the director was like, good, good, good. And the woman was being told, bueno, or whatever the word is in Italian, you know, offset.
Yeah.
Right, right. Keep going. And Lucy was like dying, like, stop. But they weren't stopping. And she went with it because she always did. And when she stopped, she said, it took me 5 minutes to catch my breath.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's an incredible piece. And again, you can catch it on, you know, on an episode. It's great to be able to see that.
And those episodes are still being shown, or you could see exactly what we're talking about. Not only the I Love Lucy show, but you focus on some other things too. So what are some of the other interests you have on your YouTube page?
You know, that's a great thing you should mention because, it's not only limited to I Love Lucy, as you said, and so I'm a big fan of The Stooges. This is going way back before Lucy as well. But there is a connection there because, of course, Lucy did star in the Three Stooges short, Three Little Pigskins.
She did, yes. And in fact, I will... okay, so here's an interesting piece of trivia for me personally. I once got into an argument with Lucille Ball.
Oh, my God.
And I was asking her, in a very touching conversation, I rattled off all these names. So I would say Harpo Marx and ask her, okay, give me 2 minutes about him or a minute, you know, kind of thing. as interviewers do, you know. So I rattled off these names, and when I said Carol Lombard, she was like beginning to get very emotional. When I said Vivian Vance, she was very emotional in her response, because Vivian Vance at that point had passed away. Vivian Vance, of course, was Ethel Mertz. So I rattled off all these names, and I said, Mo Howard. She said, I never met him. I said, from the Three Stooges, you know, Mo Howard. She said, I never knew him. I said, well, you were in the Three Stooges episode. She said, no, I wasn't. And I said, yeah, there was this Three Stooges short that you were in. I couldn't think of the name of it as I was talking to her, but I said there was a three, and I was surprised by her response. And she said, I wasn't ever in anything like that. And and she was so adamant about it, I wasn't going to argue any further. But yeah, she had actually forgotten that she was in, but that was, in her defense, very, very early in her career. And, you know, she was so proud that anything she was asked to do, she would do. Anything.
Right.
And she accredited that willingness to do anything and everything. She said, you know what? You want to be successful? You have to learn your craft, but you have to be, no matter what it is, and you have to be willing to do anything. And she always was. But I'm a huge fan. Let me ask you another trivia question. How many Stooges really were there?
How many Stooges really were there? That's a great question, because if we really go back to vaudeville, there's probably a lot more. But, you know, the original trio, there was Ted Healy, there was Shemp Howard, there was Mo Howard. And then we have, of course, Larry Fine came in. Then we also have Curly, who came in for the shorts, because Shemp began in vaudeville. And then when they moved on to the actual shorts on screen, Curly took over for him. And then, of course, when Curly got sick and he had a stroke, then Shemp took over. And then we had Curly Joe and Joe Derrida. So there was a good amount of Stooges.
Oh, you're missing one.
I'm missing one.
You're missing
one. Which one am I missing?
Paul Lisnick.
Oh, Paul Lisnick.
Yes. It's hardly ever known, but that's true. It's absolutely true. So, okay, aside from the Three Stooges, I've noticed that you seem to have interest in, and I love the Three Stooges too, by the way, my friend. Who doesn't? Gilligan's Island, I think, and I Dream of Jeannie.
Gilligan's Island, I Dream of Jeannie. I also have other shows planned, but I kind of don't want to just put them all on there. I just want to slowly move into them. But I love, you know, Hogan's Heroes. I love even newer shows like Home Improvement and Seinfeld. And I love these sitcoms that I think all kind of grew out of I Love Lucy, and I see their product of them. But even going up to Seinfeld and even shows like Big Bang Today, still similar concept as how I Love Lucy was filmed. Three-camera setup, live audience. It's incredible.
Yeah, they changed television. I mean, wanting to make home movies for her kids, that's how the reruns began. And the three-camera technique, completely out of Desi Arnaz's head in order to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. So one more bit of trivia for you because of your I Dream of Jeannie interest. Barbara Eden, of course, appeared in one episode of I Love Lucy. Was it Lucy Desi? No, it was still I Love Lucy at that point.
Yes.
And was one of the later episodes, season six, I'm guessing. And she played the niece of some friends that were going to meet her at this party or this benefit or some dance of some kind.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. So Barbara Eden told me, because back in the day when I interviewed celebrities, Barbara Eden told me how wonderful Lucille Ball was. So, you know, you've got these stories out there about how difficult she was. And you know what? When you talk to the actors themselves, they say, no, she knew what she was doing like nobody else ever and was very, very serious about comedy. And in fact, was a serious person, incidentally. But she said that she helped. She said, okay, this is the dress they want you to wear. I think it was a black dress. I don't remember. It was a sexy dress. The whole idea is that Barbara Eden's character would look hot and sexy, and Fred and Ricky and, I forget Frank Nelson's character's name. What was that?
Ralph Ramsey.
Thank you. Very good. Ralph Ramsey. The characters, the men, would all be attracted, forget about their wives, and be attracted to her. And Lucille Ball said, you know, we've got to make this dress tighter, and we've got to make this dress a little more flashy for TV. And she did herself do that with a needle and thread. So so the notion, you know, it was, and this is the Lucille Ball that I knew too, is that any, because we talked about like being upstaged by kids or by animals. She said, essentially, if it gets a laugh, I'm all for it. That's all that matters. It's all that matters.
Yeah, and that shows the dedication she had to her craft. I really see these four individuals, and of course, I mean, of course, Desi, Lucy, Bill Frawley, and Vivian Vance, they were all very seasoned professionals. Now, the show was funny. They were doing all these crazy things, but they were professionals. They were very serious about what they did and their work. You know, Bill Frawley had his struggles in his life, but he came on set, and he was on point. He'd memorize his parts. He didn't know what the episodes were about, usually. But that didn't matter. He got his lines every single time. He knew what he was doing. Same with the rest of them.
Yeah, Bill Frawley was, according to Lucille Ball, Bill Frawley was exactly what he was on screen. You know, and he was a tough, gruff guy, but good heart underneath. Yeah, at times I'm sure he cared more about the racetrack than the show, but he was quite the character actor, but quite the character, apparently. Vivian Vance, I never met her or spoke to her, but by all accounts, a very complicated person, but ultimately became very, very close with Lucy as they went through a couple divorces together and all the rest. And they were like Laurel and Hardy, you know, on television. Rick, it is so good to talk to you, but just me talking to you isn't going to do the trick if people don't go to your YouTube page. How do they find that?
Yeah, so what's great about what I do is that it's absolutely free. As long as you have an internet connection, you can do it right on your phone. You just type in Rick, R-I-C-K, space, N-I-N-E-G, Rick 9G. And I should come up, whether you put on Google or YouTube, and you can search. I have close to 1,000 videos ranging from many different topics, so hopefully you'll find something you enjoy.
Well, and of course, in the description for all this, we'll put a link to that page up. Rick, it is a pleasure talking to you. Perhaps we could do it some other time, and I just need to know, and it's important that I know, one and only one thing before I let you go. Listnick talk to you, I talk to you. Who is better?
You know what? I'm going to definitely have to tally up the points, and when I get my final results, I'll send them to both of you.
That's a cop-out if I've ever heard one.
It is, isn't it? Great, but I'm going to really, really work on that final grade. Remember, I was a teacher, so I'm going to be strict with it.
All right, I need to know. Thank you very much, Rick.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.